wisdom, discernment, understanding. How many of us have asked God for one of these gifts during this challenging time of pandemic? How many of us have asked God for one or more of these gifts during this time of political and social unrest in our country? How many of us have asked God for these gifts as our church struggles to see God's way into the future? Sometimes our questions are pretty straightforward. Faced with a challenge or a difficulty or a grief, we simply ask, "Why, God?" or "What now?" My name is Dorothy Ann Webster. I'm a retired pastor, part of a clergy couple in the North Alabama Conference of the United Methodist Church. We live in Huntsville. Our readings this week have a lot to tell us about true godly wisdom. We begin with Job. Job seeks understanding for the losses that he has experienced. He doesn't understand why he should be experiencing all of these calamities when he has lived a good life, followed God's law, and sought to treat others well. His friends offer their best advice, but the wisdom Job has and the wisdom his friends offer is limited by their human understanding. They know they've always been taught that God blesses good people and punishes the wicked. But Job is a good man. Yet he has had horrible things happen. Unless there is some evil in him of which he is unaware. Job asks in chapter 28, beginning with verse 20, "Where then does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Abaddon and death say, 'We have heard a rumor of it with our ears.' God understands the way to it, and he knows the place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he gave to the wind its weight and apportioned out the waters by measure, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the thunderbolt, then he saw it and declared it. He established it and searched it out. And he said to humankind, 'Truly the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding.'" To hold God in ultimate reverence and respect, that is wisdom. To humbly know that God is God and we are not, that is wisdom. To put evil behind us and focus our lives and our beings on God, that is understanding. But this can be easier said than done, can't it? Not only are there things of this world that demand our attention and call us away from the spiritual, but we sometimes hear competing voices who say that they are all trying to help us be faithful. Such was the situation Paul faced with the Galatian church. He delighted in bringing the gospel to the Galatians. He praised God that many accepted the faith. He was eager to hear how the church was growing, both in number and in spirituality. But what he heard troubled him. Other teachers had come behind him. They were Judaizers, people who believed that in order to be a good Christian, you had to first be a good Jew. After all, Jesus was a Jew, wasn't he? They taught the Galatians that they couldn't really be Christian until they learned the law and the prophets, until they practiced the faith of Moses, and until the men were circumcised. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, we hear his anger that such human wisdom was not only being taught, but that the Galatians were accepting it as truth. We can hear him almost ranting as he wrote, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Did you experience so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Well, then, does God supply you with the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing of the works of the law, or by your believing what you heard?" He reminded them that we are saved by faith, saying, "Just as Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, so you see, those who believe are the descendants of Abraham." And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, declared the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the Gentiles shall be blessed in you. For this reason, those who believe are blessed with Abraham who believed. Putting their hopes in the so-called wisdom of these other teachers was really getting them into a sticky mess and leading them away from the joy of living by the Spirit and receiving salvation through faith. Paul got pretty undone with the Corinthian church too, as they were aligning themselves with the particular teachers rather than with God in Christ Jesus. It is in 1 Corinthians 1, beginning with verse 26, that we read his encouragement this week. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. And then in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 and 13, he writes, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. If wisdom is having awe and reverence for God, and understanding is turning from evil and following God, and if wisdom and understanding are gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit rather than things we can achieve on our own, then perhaps focusing our attention on our spiritual life rather than on the challenges and turmoil around us is exactly the way God will grant us the discernment we need to get through these trying times. We may not always be able to analyze what is happening or to make sense of the competing voices, but our hearts and lives will be filled with the fruits of the Spirit, and we will know peace and joy. As Paul wrote to the Galatians, by contrast to the evil and sin and turmoil he had been writing about, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It is through the Spirit that we find what we need to face the challenges of our days and to see bright hope for tomorrow. As those gifts permeate our lives, we are able to share them with those around us and become a part of the transformation God is bringing to this world. Let us pray. Oh God, you know how easily we become preoccupied with the distress of our days. You know, too, how hard it is for us to sort out the truth when we hear competing voices all claiming to know what is best. Fill us with your Spirit, that we may live in your joy and in your peace. Guide us to share your hope with those around us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.